Hi, I'm J.W. Stewart, a veteran broadcaster and journalist with nearly 30 years' experience. I've worked at ESPN and NBC, and now I teach at the University of New Haven.
And I'm Cheyenne Zenger, Director of Athletics at the University of New Haven. Prior to that, Director of Athletics at the University of Kansas and Illinois State University. The first 15 years of my career, however, was a college football coach and an athletic administrator. This is the Dr. Z and J.Dub podcast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Z and J-Dub podcast presented by our sponsor, the Pink Clover Foundation. And we thank you very much for joining us today across all of our social media channels. And as always, our podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. Dr. Z, it's been a while. It's great to see you. First of all, Happy New Year, and how are you doing?
Hey, same to you, J-Dub. We had a nice talk on the phone the other day. Doing great. Have missed this tremendously. We took a little hiatus for the holidays, and I'm ready to get back at it.
Me too. Our guest today, as we start this semester with a bang, Dan Patrick, legendary sportscaster, is waiting in the wings and will join us in just a couple of minutes. Dan has worked everywhere and done everything, ESPN and NBC and CNN, and of course, hosts his own radio show now and has for years. He's based out of Milford, which is the town right next to West Haven, where our main campus is. So we're practically neighbors with Dan. And Dan has an interesting story, from what I'm told. I've never heard this story, about his unique connection to UNH and a commercial that he shot one time in our gym a few years ago. So look forward to hearing that. But Dr. Z, I guess in addition to saying Happy New Year, I should also say congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs, your Chiefs, on going back to the Super Bowl to defend their title.
Yeah, I got to be real careful how I address this. First of all, being a former coach and a lifelong, athletics guy, I'm always careful of the fan status. I didn't do anything but turn on the TV. But, I was there when I was 4 or 5 years old. The Chiefs won their first Super Bowl and waited 50 years till last year. And that was a lot of fun. But this season's been just as fun. I think watching Patrick Mahomes is like watching some kid in a PE class just dominate and do whatever he wants. I've had a great playoffs in that all the teams I like a lot and or quarterbacks were heavily involved. I know my friends on this show or in my department that are Packers fans and Bills fans struggled yesterday, but I thought it was going to be Chiefs Packers. It's not. I think the Brady story is incredible. I had a hard time deciding who I wanted to see between the Saints and the Buccaneers, but this has just been a fun playoff season and a nice relief from all the other stuff we've been dealing with this past year.
No question. How do you feel about the Super Bowl? Do you have obviously as a fan, you're going to pick the Chiefs to win, but how do you feel that they have to go through Brady to do it?
I'm worried. I was worried about the Bills. I was worried about the Ravens. You always worry about Brady. I mean, the guy just don't know how he does it. He just does it. And one of my sons just sent me a text. The Patrick Mahomes was in kindergarten when I think Brady won his first Super Bowl. Is that accurate? Something like that. I'm not going to look it up on my phone here, but I'm hearing it's the GOAT versus the kid, or the GOAT versus or whatever people want to call it,
Yeah. Play on words with GOAT and kid. Yeah, yeah. It's very good. Yeah. Very creative. Yeah. I'm sure we'll hear more between now and Super Bowl Sunday in 2 weeks. Hey, Z, one last question before we bring Dan out. The last few months where we've been on hiatus with the podcast, what have you been doing with the athletic department and John Mays, not only our executive producer, but our associate AD?
Well, our coach has been heavily involved keeping our student athletes engaged. And, we did a session here on leadership development, career development with both John and Rob. And then Robin Salters, our SWA and deputy AD on our Chargers Alliance and diversity education and dialogue. So that's been going on for me personally. Fundraising. And we'll probably address that in the future podcast, but that's my life right now. And it's all to the betterment of UNH and our student athletes in this department. And it's something I really enjoy. So that's for a future conversation.
Let's bring out our guest today. Dan Patrick has been waiting in the wings back in the green room there. Dan is used to interviewing people. I don't know how often he's on the other side of the microphone, but we're glad to have him here on the Dr. Z and J-Dub podcast. As I mentioned, Dan, he's worked at ESPN and CNN and NBC, and of course, host of the Dan Patrick Show based in Milford, just down the street from our campus in West Haven. Dan, it's great to see you, and thanks for being here on the podcast.
J-Dub, good to see you. Good to see you guys. Thanks for the invitation here.
You're welcome. How often do you get interviewed?
Oh, it's happening more and more, I think, once people got their own podcast and Zoom, and then all of a sudden it felt like it was open warfare, that anybody who had a podcast, you just reach out because you need time to fill. And, you know, that's sort of the approach that I have. I'm always asking people to come on my show. So it, you know, it, at some point it was going to be reciprocated, and I'm flattered when people do ask.
Oh, we appreciate you being with us today. As Dr. Z was just mentioning, talking about the championship games yesterday, Dan, I know you spent a lot of time on your show today talking about it. What's your take on what we saw yesterday in both the AFC and NFC title games?
Well, I think the Bills weren't ready for prime time. I think Kansas City was on a different level, and they showed that. And I think if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, I feel pretty good that we got to the AFC title game. If I would have told you at the beginning of the year, you're going to play in the AFC title game in Kansas City, you're going to lose, you would have signed up for that. Although if I would have said to Packers fans, you're going to the NFC title game and you're going to be at home and you're going to lose to Tom Brady, they would not have signed up for that. I think with Brady, I have learned never to bet against him. And as much as I thought Green Bay was a better team, Tampa, I think, has a defense that still remains underrated. And I think Aaron Rodgers would attest to that, that they are everybody as good as any defense you'll find, maybe except for the Rams in the NFL. And then Brady made enough plays in the first half to overcome the plays that he didn't make in the second half. And here we have it. You have, you know, the teacher against the student or the pupil, although I'm sure Brady would never refer to it that way. Mahomes might, to try to play the underdog role, but you know, I'm fascinated when you get great players to play, you know, in the big moments and see what greatness really is, because these things, I've been doing this so long, JW, that I see the starts of careers. I remember Brady at Michigan, and then here he is at 43. You know, I see guys who their entire careers pass, you know, through, you know, my lens, and then their kids may start playing after that. So it's just, I'm fortunate to have been around a long time. In other words, I'm old. But I want to see greatness. It's like I wanted to see Tiger one more time win a major. You know, just these moments there. I never get tired of LeBron winning. That's what we kind of grow up with, either rooting for or against and seeing greatness. And we're going to see that in the Super Bowl, hopefully, with both of these quarterbacks and these teams.
You know, Dan, you triggered something as you're talking about greatness. As an old football coach, I've been a fan of the tight end position for years. I was a coach at Wyoming back when we had a two-back set. We evolved into a spread offense in 1997, and you know, we lost our fullbacks, which I think fullback is football. The tight end's right behind them. And I think what we saw yesterday between Kelce and Gronkowski and even the tight ends for the other teams, really, I think those positions get overlooked. I think the Bills made a mistake in not allowing for the tight end. Talk to us a little bit about that, what you saw in the role of that single position yesterday.
Well, I grew up with John Mackey and Mike Ditka. I saw the old school tight end. And then you started to see Kellen Winslow came along, and that changed our perception of the tight end, because it was a guy who was basically an oversized wide receiver who could beat you down the field. And then leave it to Belichick to go, why not have two tight ends, Gronkowski and Hernandez, and they could beat you down the field as well. George Kittle, you got Travis Kelce. You're starting to see these wide receivers who, you know, their first requirement is to be able to catch and then block. And it used to be when we were growing up, you had to be a great blocker. Now, Kittle is a great blocker, but Kelce is known for being, you know, a great wide receiver who plays tight end. And, you know, you're gonna see what. And Gronk had one catch yesterday, but it was a big catch. But he's, you know, at his peak, nobody was better than him. But Kelce is going to put up numbers that I think it, unless it's Tony Gonzalez, you know, they're going to pale in comparison to what a tight end can put up numbers wise.
Dan, you got 2 weeks to change your mind, but do you have an early prediction for the Super Bowl?
No, I don't. I always root for something competitive. And I think once I got to ESPN, I stopped rooting, because I want to be fair to you. If I say, or you say, hey, I'm a Packer fan, and you know I'm a Bears fan, then you might feel like I'm not going to be honest about your team. Or I grew up a Reds fan, and if I criticize the Pirates or the Dodgers, and so I just don't root. I just want a great game. And if you said this ends in a last minute drive and whoever wins, wins, great. Then I'm all for that. Because we talk so much about it. And of course, working at the ultimate hype machine for 18 years, ESPN, you always wanted a game to live up to what you talked about, promoted. And it didn't, it wasn't always that case, you know, for a long time in the Super Bowl. But we've had competitive Super Bowls. Being involved with NBC, I was there when Malcolm Butler had the interception. I was there when Big Ben hit Santonio Holmes for the game-winning score. What else was I involved in? I think there's five Super Bowls that I've been involved in, and most of them, I think, were all really, really competitive. So I'm fortunate to have been around those games to see the greatness and see how it comes down to the final player too, and hopefully that's what we have.
You going to the Super Bowl this year, Dan?
No. No, we made a conscious decision that until we got vaccinated or there was, you know, something on the horizon that it just didn't make sense. And you could still cover the Super Bowl because I'll still get those guests on. I just won't have them in studio. And that's the one thing we do miss, having that, because you're able to have more fun with them. But no, we decided this will be the first Super Bowl I've missed in, I'm going to guess, 25 years, maybe longer than that.
You know, Dan, I'm struggling with, as I look at you and hear your voice, I feel like I'm either watching TV or listening to the radio. And Narzy podcast.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of entertaining. I'm just kind of sitting back watching, letting you carry it. But, yeah, I got to mention the room you're in. First of all, you're the first person that has a mic like mine. Only yours works and mine doesn't. love the artifacts around you. You know, I'm sure they each have meaning and whatnot, but that's a pretty cool looking room you've got there.
Yeah, I basically just took everything that I had from the old man cave and everything I had in my house and then just threw it in there. But like, this is an embarrassment of riches here. It's like if you're in high school and you have money, this is probably what you would spend your money. You'd waste your money on something like this. But, you know, I have my side of the man cave, the Danettes on the other side. There's a basketball court. There's a grilling area. I got a golf simulator, pinball machines, fireplace. I wanted it to be some place where you got here early and you left late. And, you know, I was very lucky to be able to put this together.
Dan, I think as Dr. Z says, I mean, it's so cool when you're watching the show, which is streaming now on Peacock, which is NBC's streaming service. You can look at all the signed helmets and the jerseys and the posters and so on and so forth. Of all the memorabilia that you've collected and have displayed, which one is your favorite or means the most to you?
Well, I have Carson Palmer's Heisman Trophy.
How did you get that?
I just asked him for it. we had him on the show and I said, where's your Heisman? And he said, it's in the garage. And I said, well, could I have it? He said, I'll send it to you. And he packed it up. They have a official carrying case for it. And he sent it. I gave my FedEx number. He sent it in and we have it on the bar. And that's Carson Palmer's Heisman Trophy. So I told him he may have to come here to get it, but you know, he could always get it whenever he wants to, but yeah, he sent me his Heisman Trophy.
Dan, you've been here in Connecticut a long time. You grew up in Ohio, but obviously living, working here in Connecticut a long time. As we mentioned, you're in Milford. The previous man cave was also in Milford. What is it you love so much about this area, Milford, West Haven, New Haven, in this Connecticut shoreline area?
We were in West Hartford when I worked at the mothership. And then towards the end of my career at ESPN, my wife said, you know, let's try to find something on the water closer to New York on the train line. So in case you had to go into New York to work. And we had never been to Milford. We knew nothing about Milford. We just fell in love with the house that was in foreclosure going to auction. And my wife was pregnant with our fourth child. And I thought, you know, we're not doing anything. We're not moving. We're not buying a house. And the next thing I know, we're buying a house and having a baby in Bridgeport as opposed to West Hartford. And I just like the people. They let me kind of come and go. I'm no big deal here, which is great. I have my local places that I go to. Seven Seas Restaurant, I'll go in there, a couple other places around here, and it's pretty simple. It's a yeah. simple life, good people, blue-collar people, and I didn't want to kind of keep up with the Joneses. You know, I'm not a Greenwich or Westport or, you know, just that's not me. This is the right place, and we decided to stay here even after I left ESPN.
You know, Dan, that J-Dub set you up there a little bit, I think. I spent the first 9 months here over in Brantford in a great location, great place. But when my Beautiful. Wife was here, we ended up with a place over in West Shore in West Haven on the border of Milford. You know, we spend all our time in West Haven and Milford. You know, you said Seven Seas. The first place we take friends when they come to town, it's a Stonebridge, especially in the spring, summer, fall, with yeah. the fall going and the fountain and whatnot. You know, it's just, the people are great. There's no pretense to it. I just absolutely love this area. My wife said to me the other day, you talk about this area all the time. What happens if we buy a house in another area? I go, well, we're not. this is it. I hope you like it because I love it. And, you know, we're 10 houses from the water. Just, you know, everyone on this show has heard it many times. So is J-Dub. Just being able to go home. As soon as I hit the water, if I was stressed about something, it goes away. It just, it's magical.
Yeah. And Milford has the most shoreline of any city in Connecticut. So I'm very fortunate. You know, my wife has an ice cream shop here in Milford, Walnut Beach Creamery. So wow. we're invested in the community. And, you know, when you have kids, it's different. When you're just married, it's different when you're living in a place. You don't think about schools. And I remember when I first got here and people realized I had three daughters, they're like, oh, you got Laurelton here. And I go, okay. And at the time I didn't factor in that Laurelton is this great all girls school that's a mile and a half from my house. And then I realized that, you know, soon after when my daughters were getting ready to go to high school and they all three went to Laurelton. So I was very lucky, you know, to be able to have that so close by.
You know, Connecticut, this is a free advertisement for any people watching outside the area. It's just such a well-kept secret. I keep telling folks at University of New Haven that, you know, the school systems, public and private alike in Connecticut are second to none. If you want to be a teacher, you want to move to Connecticut. It's a special place in that regard. And there's so many other benefits. When you talked about moving to where you could be, you know, close to the rails to New York, et cetera, all three of my children were here for the holidays. And, you know, I joked about the country mice have become city mice. You know, the weekend before Christmas, we were at Rockefeller Center, you know, taking pictures with the tree. The weekend or the Monday after, we're in the Hamptons. Now, we didn't do much, but it sure sounds good. You know, we're hanging, we're driving around, but, you know, we sounded really important.
We looked in downtown New Haven over by Yale. They have just these, you know, magnificent homes there. And, you know, we did look there and then we decided on Milford and I'm happy we did. I'm going to stay there and I'll at least keep the house. That's for sure.
Yeah. Dan, you have a unique connection to the University of New Haven as I was informed by our executive producer, John Mays. I guess he's done some research on the show too. You filmed a commercial about the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago in our gym. Tell us that story, please.
Now, we did a promo, I think, for our show at the gym, but I don't know if I did anything else there. This was prior to, I don't know if we were getting ready to go to March Madness, but I remember that we did something at the gym where we kind of created, this was our basketball team versus, you know, guys who were great players and, I forget how it came off. I just know that we went there and we were there for most of the day And it was great because anytime I can just, you know, stand around and shoot hoops, I'm all in. And that's what we did.
Of all the gyms around, how did you end up at Charger Gymnasium on our campus?
I have no idea. That's one of those where that I think we were just searching out gymnasiums that had a certain look to them. And, you know, somebody came back and said, this is where we're going. I'm like, great. As long as they have nets on the rim, that's all I care about. And, you know, we shot it and there were students there. I don't think they had any idea who we were or what we were doing, but it's all right. I'm used to that.
Dan, you're no stranger to a college campus. Tell us about your involvement these days in higher education.
Well, I started a program at Full Sail University, and I always wanted to do this because, as you know, J-Dub, that everybody wants to get to ESPN. They don't know how to get to ESPN, but in their minds, they're like, I want to get there. Well, I wanted to create sort of a template, a blueprint of this is the course load. These are the courses to take. We're going to have faculty members who have been in the business or were in the business, and I wanted to give you the answers to the test before you actually knew that there was going to be a test. And I didn't want you to graduate and get out. And it's a bachelor's degree in sportscasting. One of the few places in America that allows a true bachelor's degree in sportscasting. Because if you want to do this, why can't I teach you how to do this? Instead of, well, you're going to do communications. That's not what my approach was. If you want to be in this business, I'll teach you this business. We specialize in all other kinds of majors. Why can't you major in being a sportscaster? Now, it doesn't mean that you're not well-rounded. It's a true education. It's a true bachelor's degree, but you're learning how to interview. That'll help you in any job field. There are things that you're learning standing up in front of people and speaking. That'll help you the rest of your life. These are courses that help you if you want to be a sportscaster, front of the camera, behind the camera, be a producer, a reporter, a director, producer. But if you don't, these are still things that you could take into a workforce and into a job, and it could be applicable. And I got Gus Ramsey, who was at ESPN for 2 decades with us, and Gus is the guy on the ground in Orlando at Full Sail. We started out with 4 students, and now we have over 300. But it's because we're teaching them things. You can see growth in real time, and that's what I wanted. I want you to know what it's like, and we don't sugarcoat it. I always say to my teachers, be honest with them. It is really, 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 really difficult to get a job in this business at a high level. You know, hey, I want to be in New York. I want to be in LA. Okay. There's millions of people. I think it's the most competitive job field we have because everybody thinks they can do it or they want to do it. And I just want to have a dose of reality. If you want to do it, these are the odds, and we'll teach you. This is the curriculum. And it's rewarding. It's the most rewarding thing I've ever done because you're seeing 18, 19, 20, 20-year-olds. We have people in their 30s, mid-30s, late 30s, Army vets. They want to learn. They're curious about it. And, you know, when you see that and that the improvement, it's great. I mean, it really is. It's the most rewarding thing that I've ever done.
I had no idea you were doing that, Dan. Does it mirror athletics and coaching in that something that other people want to do, or a lot of people want to do, your first job or two is almost for free? You just got to get your foot in the door. You're a pledge. You just do whatever you can, and then you get more responsibility. And if you hook on with the right folks, you're on your way. But the beginning of it's incredibly hard.
You need that first job. And I always say to my students, the best time to look for a job is when you have a job. But get in, get your experience, make your mistakes. I wasn't ready for ESPN, you know, when I was in my 20s, but I was when I got into my 30s. And, you know, there's no net underneath you. When you get the higher up you get, the smaller the net gets. Just be ready for those moments there. And that's what we're trying to teach you, that this is not just, hey, I know sports. Okay. There are a lot of people who know sports. Now, can you deliver sports? What is your angle on sports? What is different about you? You know, that's what you're trying to let them know. You know, as you go into this business, you have to go in with a game plan. You can't just go, hey, I want to be a sportscaster. Okay. Are you willing to go to Billings, Montana? I don't know. I'd rather not. Well, you might have to go to Billings, Montana or Rochester or throw out, you know, smaller markets. And that's where you find out truly, you know, if somebody wants to do this for a living. And it separates the field, because not everybody wants to make, you know, $22,000 where you're holding the camera and, you know, the microphone, and, you know, it becomes a one man shop, and it's really hard work. But if you love it, I always say I get to go to work every day, and I don't lift anything. It's not like I love going in every day. I mean, I'm lucky. And if you could do that every day, you get to go and cover sports, then put in the effort to go and do it and understand the sacrifices you're going to have. Not everybody gets into the major leagues, we know, but if you get to go and you're in the minor leagues and you get that, like Tim Tebow can't give it up, but he's not going to play in the majors, but he can't give it up. And I admire that you're willing to do that. That's what I say. If you want to do it for the right reasons. And that is, you can do this for your job, do it for a living. Might not be where you want it to be. You might not be covering what you want to cover, but to go to work every day as a sportscaster or in the world of sports, you're in the smaller percentile there.
Amen.
Dan, last question, and we'll let you go. We know you're so busy all the time. When you get some downtime, what do you do for fun?
Oh, well, first thing is I go on podcasts with J.W. Stewart. I mean, that's
there's where, our promo right there. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. When I got nothing else to do, I do it with J.W. Stewart. I don't talk. I'm very quiet when I go home. I'll watch shows that have nothing to do with sports. But no, I love cars, golf, but I'm pretty quiet. You know, once I'm done, I go home and smoke a cigar and may watch Maine Cabin Masters or Building Off the Grid or, you know, those kind of things. But, you know, you have to have that separation, because you just can't do it all day, every day. They watch all the games at night as well. You need that balance there. And having a family, you know, helps you do that, because it would be easy to just go, I got to watch this, you know, because it is my job. But then I know it's even more enjoyable when I can go to it. I don't have to watch something. I get to watch something. But I have a very, very understanding wife when it comes to viewing patterns, and I got the remote. You'll just have to sit here and watch what I'm watching.
Yeah, it's nothing new. She's been along for the ride for a long time.
Yes, she has 33 years, so she knows the drill. But yeah, you got to have that too. I always tell the students, if you get married, you could be moving. Like there's two people involved. Then you have kids with this. Then you don't want to move, or they don't want to move. Like it's so difficult. It's a marriage that you have, that you're married to this passion, this, you know, this is what I'm married to, this job. And there's a lot of things that go along the way, that it's just like being married to someone. You're married to something, and it's difficult. You got to make adjustments. You got to be patient. You got to sacrifice. It's no different than, you know, being married to a spouse.
I think that's the perfect way to end. Great advice from Dan Patrick, legendary sportscaster. You can see him Mondays through Fridays, 9 to 12 Eastern time on the Peacock Network, which is NBC's streaming service. And, of course, you can always catch everything on danpatrick.com. Dan, it's great to see you again. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. Once we're on the other side of this pandemic, we'd love to have you on campus. Dr. Z will treat for lunch.
I'll just have you guys come to Milford.
That works.
Yeah. You guys do a road trip here. But J-Dub, yeah. It's great to see you, and glad you're doing well. And thank you again for the invitation, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Take care. All the best to you. We'll see you soon. Take care. That's Dan Patrick from the Dan Patrick Show joining us here on the Dr. Z and J-Dub podcast, which is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, the Pink Clover Foundation. And we thank them for their support. Of course, their mission is to provide research, education, and awareness in the battle against breast cancer. To learn more or to lend your support in the fight as we seek a cure for breast cancer, please visit pinkcloverfoundation.org. Dr. Z, what'd you think?
That was just a lot of fun. You know, what a way to come out of the break. You know, I was wondering who we were going to come out with. And that just, as I said a few minutes ago, listening to his voice, watching him, I didn't know if I was watching TV or listening to the radio, but it's our podcast. And, you know, that, again, a lot of fun. He also made it very, very real. The very things he was talking about with regard to getting into the sports casting business are the very things that I share with young people with regard to coaching and administration, and have done that in your class even. And marriage, the way he talked about marriage, it's the same thing as coaching. And then finally, he lives, you know, Walnut Beach is a stone's throw from where I live. And that I'm definitely going to his wife's ice cream shop. That a great area. This, you know, people are probably tired of hearing me sing the praises of this place, but it is a well-kept secret. It's a lot of fun. I see why he lives there, why he stays there. The same thing goes for me. I just resonated with just about everything he said.
Yeah, I would agree with you and with Dan. There are so many similarities between sports broadcasting and coaching or sports administration or anything in sports, because you're moving a lot, right? And you need to have a passion for this, because you're not going to make a lot of money, especially when you start out. And it's easy to see Dan's passion, not only for sports broadcasting, but also for teaching and passing along his knowledge now as he's been involved with Full Sail University down there in Florida. And, you know, he gets asked questions, not only his students at Full Sail, but all the time. I mean, he could get asked a question from a student at UNH or any, you know, Dayton where he graduated from. And his passion has always been to help educate and, you know, not give them a line of bull. You know, he wants them to understand how difficult this industry is. And I know you've done the same for a lot of coaches and people who want to go into athletic administration, right? Do you want to go to these far-flung places in the United States? And these are the things you need to be prepared for, so you're not caught off guard when you journey down that path, Dr. Z.
You know, case in point, and I remember talking about this in your class, J-Dub, my wife, after, you know, of course, I've moved her from Kansas to Illinois to Wyoming to Florida, to, you know, but she probably never dreamt in her early 50s she was going to be moved to, you know, West Haven, Connecticut. And she's teaching school here. We're having a blast. It's, you know, we're in this next stage of life. And I would summarize anything he said today with this quote. It's a quote I use when I speak publicly to alumni groups, student groups, whomever, and that is, we get to do this. You wake up every morning. I've never once, there might be a hard day ahead and some hard topics to tackle, but never have I on Sunday, so many people look forward to the next. I can't wait to Monday morning. And you know, today I'm around a lot of the staff and I'm got an adrenaline rush. I missed these people, you know, over the holidays and the pandemic, and we're starting to kind of come back on ground a little bit, you know, and that's why you do it. I can't wait to see the student athletes. And, you know, that's why you do it. We get to do this. We get to do it.
I agree. And I think the fact that, you know, that you have a passion for whatever it is that you do, that's the biggest thing, whether it's sports broadcasting, whether it's teaching, whether it's athletic administration, fundraising, whatever it is, you know, that's ultimately what drives you. I'd like to get Broccoli Rob, our producer down there in Florida. I want to get his take on what Dan said, because of course, Rob has spent some time in broadcasting and knows the sports media landscape very well from his time in Disney. Rob, what did you take away from our interview with Dan?
Well, as a recovering radio guy, you know, 10 years in the business, you know, I have nothing but respect for Dan. First of all, let's address the Carson Palmer. Hey, you could just have my Heisman. I'm going to ship it to you. Shay Tubb. I mean, he's kind of like Ty from Caddyshack. Here's a check for $250,000. Keep it. I don't know. Maybe he didn't want the Heisman. Who knows? There's a lot to unravel there. I think the number one thing that he said to me that resonated was, he's not a fan of, you know, you got to stop being a fan. If you want to work in this industry, yeah, you could watch a game. And like Dr. Z said, he follows the Chiefs because it's, but you just can't, when everybody asks me, what's my favorite team? I don't have one. I follow my former buddies that are still, you know, my buddies are still coaching and people that I know they're still playing and folks that I'm rooting for. So I think the key thing, especially if you're watching this and you're looking for a career in sports, stop being a fan of a team. Be a fan of the business. Be a fan of what it takes to be in the business. Learn who those executives are and the culture and the trending, what's happening in the industry. To me, I think that's what he was getting at. Real world life experiences are things that, you know, what he's teaching now. And I think we all get to a point where it's time for us to kind of help others, kind of bring them along up in the industry. J-Dub, with you being a professor and Dr. Z, I know this is the core of your life and what you do to help others, especially our student athletes. So it's funny when you get to that point in your life and the light goes off. But, I it's interesting to see him in a different light today. And you asked some great questions, J-Dub, on that. I think if anybody, just to back up what he said, we all have a runway when we first starting off in this industry of 5-6 years to discover what we want to do. And if you could figure out how to make money doing it, especially now where J-Dub and Dan, you guys had to start out from like, you had to find a place to broadcast, right? And there's only very limited amount of spots there. Now we get to do this here, right? Now we're broadcasting, right? We create our own content. And for anybody out there that wants to be in broadcasting, I would say start tomorrow, start today and do your own podcast. Like start honing your skills, start figuring out, you know, there's a technique to what J-Dub, you don't realize it, but there's a technique to what he does, right? And how he introduces people, how he gives a background, how he tees it up, how he follows up. That's things you can't learn unless, you know, you go to school for it, but unless you do it every single day. And guys like J-Dub, I mean, he's a pro that we get to talk to every single day on this. Not every day. You know, we took it 3 months off, maybe once a month. But anyway, so that's it for me. It was a pleasure. It was an honor to be on. And thank you for having me jump on this one.
Absolutely. Brockie Robbins, we appreciate all the hard work that you do for the Dr. Z and J-Dub podcast. And Z, I'd say we're back in a big way with Dan Patrick. And we have some more great content on the way as we, you know, hopefully get back, to a regular schedule, maybe once a week.
I missed this. We intentionally took a little break, and I can't wait to fire this off to friends and family. And hopefully our regular viewers enjoyed it as I think we did.
Yeah, there's some great advice there from Dan to anybody, regardless of what they want to do. Yeah, a lot of his advice is geared toward people who want to be in sports. But as he mentioned, you know, it's important to be a good listener and be a good interviewer, you know, even if you're going to be someone in a position to hire somebody someday, you know, human resources, whatever, a boss, you know, you need to be able to develop those skills. And Dan's one of the best in the business at doing it and has a lot of respect. And I appreciate him doing us a favor and coming on the show. It means a lot, much the way Chris Berman did for us back.
Well, the way it's could be the J-Dub, Dr. Z, and Dan Patrick show before long, as long as you connected to
that. Yeah, well, it'll be nice, like, you know, once we're all vaccinated, we're on the other side of this whole pandemic, that we can hang out at his place there in Milford. Yeah. It's a pretty amazing place. It's only a couple of years old, the new man cave where he broadcasts from. And yeah, they spared no expense, and they have all these grills in the back. They have a courtyard in the back, and you know, every Friday when it's decent weather, they're out there grilling the meats and stuff like that. So I think you and he have hit it off perfectly and are going to be great friends, hopefully going forward, Dr. Z.
I think we need to go to his man cave, not mine. Mine's got HVAC hanging down. And, you know what? It all works, right?
It does. Now we appreciate Dan's time. You know, he's very busy. So for him to carve out a half hour of his time means a lot to us and to all of us here at UNH. Time to wrap up another edition of the Dr. Z and J-Dub podcast. Once again, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, the Pink Clover Foundation. Again, for you to assist in the fight against breast cancer, please visit pinkcloverfoundation.org. Thanks to everyone who tuned in. Follow us on social media to stay up to date with all the new episodes that we'll be launching, and we'll have more content in the weeks to come. For Dr. Z, for our producer, Broccoli Rob Thompson, for our executive producer, John Mays, I'm J.W. Stewart. Thanks for joining us here on the Dr. Z and J-Dub podcast. We'll be right back.